Got it, Rex.
Yeah, so what car have you got? An Evo 8. So normally speaking, the RG240 is $1,499, and we allow for essentially a 3-hour window, which means you get whether you want to do all the runs in one hit or whether you want to do half of that in the first hit. And if you can't get it to pass, then go and make your changes, come back, retest again. If it fails outside that window, well, then it's sort of a little bit more of a work out how many times you want to move forward from there, whether it's going to be one more test or essentially it'll probably be another $1,000 roughly. Yeah, so we get. So essentially it's two, so you can look, you can think of it like two sessions at most. So it's either one session in total and you get it all done and dusted whilst it's on the dyno, whether it takes 5 minutes or up to 3 hours. Okay. Or alternatively, and this sometimes suits people that need to make alterations or changes, whether it's tune or exhaust or cats, etc. You come in, we set the car up, you spend anywhere between 0 and an hour and a half-ish, say, get it all done, doesn't pass, then you have to come back. Then you have the remainder of that 3 hours to retest the car. Yeah, but that also that includes installing and fitting the car. So you've got to remember, within that time, we still need to set the car up. So you can't do 2.5 hours and then expect to come back and have it resolved in half an hour, because it's going to take us half an hour to set the car up. Correct, yes, that's right. Which is why we set it up like that. Well, that sort of is a bit of an open-ended question because we don't know what you've got to work with, what software it is. Generally speaking, we're predominantly Subaru tuners. So if you have your own dyno tuner that's tuned your car for power, etc., you are welcome to have him come in. Alternatively, we can have a chat about what software you've got and see if it's something we're comfortable with editing for you. Yep. 2.2 liter, you mean? 2.3. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds pretty, obviously pretty modified up. And at the end of the day, there's no real guarantee, no matter what we do, whether we can get that to pass or not. So your configuration, we can only guide you in the right direction as to what we know works, but you know it's sort of a fine line between spending time running the car, getting the initial base results, and then working out what direction we need to go in from there, and then editing what's in there to be able to try and get it to pass. Again, you could spend some time on there and then realize that you're getting very close, but not close enough to get the actual official pass off the system. So it is a little bit of an unknown until you attempt it, especially when you're a little bit left to center. So you don't have a standardized platform to work with. You've got a stroker kit, you've got camshafts, aftermarket ECU, etc., etc. So there's a lot of variables in the equation. Yeah. Look, anything's doable. It just comes down to how much headache you're willing to absorb. It's not always just about cost, but it's having played the game a few times now, you may need to add two cats instead of one cat to achieve the result. So, or sometimes you might just go, you know what, I want to minimize the headache. I'm happy to just put two cats on there and get this thing to pass straight off the bat, you know, and have a better chance. Obviously, it comes with a cost, but you minimize the amount of headache traveling back and forth. Okay. Yeah, look. That's actually completely the right. That's completely the wrong way. That's actually incorrect information. Yep. No, that's not true either. Well, so there's a couple aspects there that, again, a little bit generalized and not quite accurate. So the RG240 test is essentially 4 minutes of cruising the car. Nothing to do with full throttle, nothing to do with heavy driving, no load, no nothing like that. It's all just cruising. So the chances of someone blowing up your engine whilst they're cruising is very minimal. You would have to be a complete and utter imbecile to have that happen. But that is only one aspect of the tune getting played with. So if we were to muck around with your car for the RG240 aspect, we would be doing an emissions tune. It's not essentially a power tune. It's two very separate worlds and only one component of the total tune world. Now, which is why there's many variables. So we would need to speak about that in more detail so that you understand what you're actually paying for and what you're getting and the risks involved. RG240 is very lighthearted. It's a little bit of acceleration. If you simulate like driving from work to home or something, getting up a freeway, up and down a hill, overtaking a car on the freeway, that's essentially what the RG240 is simulating. So nothing to do with full boost, full throttle, full power, none of that. Got nothing to do with it. No, so you need to two things for your engineering aspect. There's the RG240, then there's the power. So you do need a power run, most likely, if your engineer requests it, to prove that the weight of the car and the power of the car is a registrable combination. But that is a request from your engineer. We don't do that unless you actually ask for it. That's a separate component. Correct. 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 But your tune state is a little bit of an open-ended one because you're going to need to potentially. I mean, you're welcome to try and test it on the 85, and we can try and get it to pass on the 85. But again, we've had cars here on the 85. Then no matter what we did. And it's cars that we tune here for power and cars that we also did RG240s on, that we were unable to get the result with a single cat. In that case, the customer opted to switch the car back to 98 and tune on a single cat, as opposed to potentially trying two cats on the 85, which you might get the result, but you need to try. It's okay. That's doing nothing. That's doing absolutely nothing. You might as, yeah. So now, with the emissions aspect, once you've done your emissions testing, generally speaking, to pass emissions, the cats are quite a bit restrictive, and the car making the power that it does on the 85 is probably not going to be an outcome it's going to be able to sustain in the future. So this will purely be just to get your compliance as opposed to your long-term outcome. You would still want to look at changing that stuff out later if you're talking about making more power. So this is purely emissions related stuff, and much like a brand new car, most of that stuff would probably end up getting taken off and swapped out for more appropriate stuff to make power. Yeah, correct. Yep. So, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, in saying that, well, it's not that it's too expensive. A lot of guys just take it as too expensive because it's stuff they've never spent money on before. They'd rather spend their money on wheels and coilovers and stuff like that, but then never drive the car because they're shit scared of cops. We've just engineered three 86s, two turbocharged and one supercharged. And this was a headache that these guys used to have to live with because a turbocharged 86 isn't an easy thing to hide. And so all of a sudden they've gone from being illegal to being legal. And yes, they've still got exhausts and wheels and coilovers that might be questionable in the future, but the fact that things turbo, saving them a big headache in the future for having to demodify the whole car to then get it past roadworthy again and then re-registered. So I don't see it as a waste of money. I see it as good value because you actually get to enjoy the car. Not. Don't know which one. Jabber Engineering, yes. Zane. Yep. There's a few aspects there. In terms of engineering, like depending on your car, but as an example, the typical 86, when they come in, they're engineered for emissions, turbo kits, which is an engine modification, power, emissions. Most of them have got coilovers, so they get engineered for coilovers. Normally speaking, by the time they drive in, drive out, they end up being like between a 7 and a 10 grand scenario, right? And that's the engineering aspect, the emissions testing aspect, the testing aspect altogether. So a little bit of emissions tuning involved also, and some light-hearted fab work. So. Absolutely. Absolutely. You understand it well. There you go. Well, if you were to go demod, remod the car one or two times, if you got pulled over in terms of major defects like that, imagine how much work you would have to go through and how much labor that would cost to have to get the car back into a registrable state again. So repeated large headache again. Yes, correct. Yep. So we normally, I'd suggest going for the biggest, baddest one you can go. Currently, they're out of stock until January from where I get them from. So you'd be looking for like a Euro 6 Cat. Just ask for a Euro 6 in the biggest diameter, as in the biggest pipe size possible, because obviously they need to flow into that pipe. And that's your exhaust probably 3 inch on your car. So the closest would be 2.5 in a Euro 6 that I know of. So I'd suggest looking for one of those, or even possibly two of those. That's not bad. Gotta remember, you want this thing removable, yeah? So you want him to design that in a way where it's purely in there for your testing, and then you have your removable section where that comes out later. Maybe even get him to allow for when he does do that minor fab work, if he is doing it, for a second one to be backed up pretty much nearly right behind it. Ah, you're not going to get him underneath the turbo on an Evo, but somewhere within the first meter would be nice. Honestly, put them in wherever they fit, mate. Wherever they fit. I mean, something is better than nothing. So, but again, it's one of those things where there is no golden answer. All we can do is equip it as best as possible before you bother testing it, so that you're getting value for money out of the test. No, you have to remember also that the exhaust needs to pass noise tests for engineering. So if I can make some suggestions now, and this has happened here in the past, you get a standard cat-back and you put your big Euro 6 cat at the front of that cat-back and you tune the car for emissions with that cat-back on there, because A, you don't need to worry about noise tests. You're then going to pass the noise test. Okay, and you're better equipped for emissions straight off the bat.
Yeah, because you got to remember, like, if you modify your cat back, right, to take a Euro 6 or 2, removable or not removable, whatever, but just that's one aspect done. You've got the RG240 under your bat. The next thing the engineer's going to ask for is a noise test. And then he's going to test it and go, no, Evo with a 3-inch exhaust is not going to pass. They're generally relatively loud. So, you know, better thing to do is, and then you're going to have to modify your beautiful exhaust that's on there, whatever it is, to try and pass the noise test, which is going to be a bit of a mozza. So I would avoid that and just set it up with like a standard cat back with the biggest cats you can put in there. And then, yes, you're sort of going extreme, but it's again game aimed at giving you the best chance to pass without wasting time and money. Okay. Well, you factor all that stuff into it and you know what to do. Easy, man. Just straight off the bat, yes. But if you're playing the game with two cats, well, then it's up to you which path you want to roll the dice with more. Yeah, well, I mean, at the end of the day, the power run is purely just for, again, your criteria. It's not like we're going to run it on the 85 to prove it's full power. It's always, you know, your lowest possible power, which is wastegate 98, etc. It's 14, yes, 1499, and that's your initial test with a window of time for you to bring the car back once. So it's essentially two strap downs on the dyno. One strap down and whatever you want to do in that first window. And then with a realistic amount of time left, I would say stop at about an hour and a half if you're not getting a result. And the only reason I say that is because you're allowing half an hour to strap the car down and another hour of running to get you a result. If you can't get it in that 3-hour window, we're going to start having a look at charging, you know, basically another fee again. So be somewhere about the grand market to do it again. Yeah, but that's, you know, you're getting pretty out there, man. Like, it's either the car's really not going to meet that criteria because the engine's just too damn wild, and no matter what we do, it's just not going to get there. And again, like we said, just about anything will almost meet emissions if you keep sticking more and more cats behind it. But there's also a balance. So you need to be able to go, okay, well, you know, a couple of cats is realistic. It fits under the car. It's not being ridiculous. It's not going out of control in cost because the things obviously aren't cheap. So you sort of weigh up how long you spend on it. And then, you know, if we get into that point and we're not getting results, we probably need to start to sit back and go, okay, well, what else can you do to reduce the emissions in this car? No, we've passed 272s in the Subaru. I reckon yours are probably two aren't far off that. Yeah, they'll be 270 somewhere. Correct. Yep. Well, it's all should-be-should-bes, but because you have those accessories, it does make it more difficult, yes. It's not the end of the world, but it's not a straight out no. Okay, no problem, mate. Catch you, mate. You're welcome. Bye-bye.